Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Everybody, welcome to Voice Rising. I'm delighted to have with me in studio today Stephen McNamara, an accomplished composer, musician, recording engineer, and yes, some even say that Stephen is a yogitarist. His most recent album is Vandana, Devotional Mantras and Sacred Healing Prayers, which explores the ancient tradition of mantra in a form that captures the spirit of the Vedic tradition. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kara. It's really an honor to be on your show.
It's great to have you. So let's dig in. I've been listening a lot to your music, and for many years I'm touched by its depth and profound healing qualities, an amazing sound quality. I'd like to begin with a question that takes us back to your childhood. You were born in South Africa. Was music a part of your life as a kid? And what is a powerful moment that you remember as a kid being connected to music?
Well, I actually, one of my earliest recollections of the power of music was I must have been 3 or 4 years old, and they had a royal parade in Johannesburg, the city, you know, and they had a Scottish pipe band with the full regalia. And I remember hearing the bagpipes and the drums, and something just really moved me. Like, I'd never realized how powerful music could be, you know, at such an early age. Yeah. And I think that's an earliest memory I have, is just the power of all those bagpipes and drums playing that traditional Scottish music.
Beautiful.
And then also on my uncle's farm, that, you know, he had a farm in a remote area of South Africa, all the Africans would chant in the fields as they were working, and they would, almost like now what we would say is a mantra, you know. It would be the same melody over and over, and it'd get more and more powerful. And you could see how they were so energized by this music. Those are the earliest memories I have.
Were you already playing, you're a guitarist and you also study guitar and keyboard, correct? Were you already playing guitar at an early age?
Yeah, at about six, I started piano lessons. And then a couple of years later, you know, with all the whole explosion of pop music, I got drawn to the guitar. And of course, it was easier than to take a piano around with you. Like now you can take a digital piano. The guitar was nice and portable, and I just liked the feeling of that, of being able to play anywhere, you know.
That's true. Now they even have smaller keyboards that you can take with, but it's hard to get an acoustic feel with a keyboard instrument. I mean, maybe the harmonium comes close, but it's hard,
there's nothing like a real piano, obviously.
There's nothing like a real piano.
No.
Exactly.
They've tried, and all the technology has made it better, but it's still not the same. And I find that with all the music I play, like I try to stay away from electronic sounds, and try to get real organic people playing instruments. And I've just gone back, you know, many years now to the acoustic nylon string guitar. It just has that sort of feeling for me, and I've done all my albums with that guitar.
Beautiful, beautiful. You then, later you went to the States where you're living now in Oregon, but I think if I remember correctly, you studied then at the Berklee College of Music, right?
Yes.
In the beginning, and then you decided to stay in the States. And
when I was at Berklee, I went to a Ravi Shankar concert because they had a concert series there. And that's when the sitar and Indian music started. That really was like a watershed moment for me. That once I heard that music being played live by, you know, someone of that caliber, I was just absolutely astounded, you know, and felt like I wanted to go deeper into that music. You know?
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. You fell in love with the music from India, or Indian music, in the 70s. Can one say that?
Yeah, around 1970. Yeah.
And then you were studying not only guitar, but you were studying sitar.
Yeah, I would go. I found a wonderful teacher, Ram Chakravarti, at the school in Connecticut, and he gave me private lessons, so I would go every week. It was a busy schedule then, but I started to really learn the music from a real teacher,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
made an, you know, even my guitar now still has the sitar feeling to it because I've been playing them side by side all these years, you know. And,
do you use a different tuning for your guitar when you work?
Yeah, I don't usually use the standard tunings. I have a more like open tuning.
Yeah.
And so it kind of has a more drone quality underneath the melody, you know.
Yeah, beautiful. I know that I actually know it from Joni Mitchell, that she worked a lot with open tunings also.
Yeah.
And it always fascinated me. I think it's a different way, it's a different coloring, and yet that's what's so beautiful with the stringed instruments. You can set the tunings in a different place.
Right.
So what was a turning point for you, Stephen, where you decided, I want to dedicate my life 100% to music? And especially, I think you've done 8 albums, if I'm right, on this kind of influenced world music, Indian music. Your albums are not in that Western pop field. They're actually very inspired by the Indian Northern India, correct?
Yes, the North Indian, you know, that's the sitar and the music that I learned was the North Indian classical. At some point it somehow I got offered to write some music for the company Sounds True for some of their programs
mm-hmm.
back in about 2000. But they didn't want sitar because they felt it was too, you know, too Eastern for their audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I started adapting things on the guitar, and then I suddenly found this kind of inspirational niche, which has remained all the way through, that it has that Indian feeling, but the sound of the guitar is more open to the Western ear, you know.
Right.
It's not pure Indian music, but it's definitely got that. I approach every piece based on an Indian raga, and then I write a piece that's inspired by that, you know. And so, yeah, it's been this kind of journey. But around 2000, I started coming up with this style that I have now that's been maturing and maturing, you know.
Do you are you one of those composers who has a daily practice and wakes up early at the same time and walks into the studio and writes, or do you have a pen and paper next to you all the time and just capture melodies?
Sometimes I'll just get ideas just walking in the park.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sitting down and like too regimented now these days. And a lot of times it'll just come all at once, you know, a full idea. Other times a fragment will come, as you probably know from all your songwriting.
Yeah.
And then that takes a while. So it's not just one way that it happens, really.
Yeah, for me, it's the same. Some things come, they come complete, which is always wonderful. And then other ones, they come in fragments. And I'm not able to. Some people are able to, but I'm not able to finish something unless it's asked to be finished. I do have songs that have been sitting there for a few years, and every time I go to work on them, it just seems like it needs love and attention and care to finish them. It just can't be done from an intellectual standpoint where you're like, okay, it needs a hook or it needs a refrain, or it doesn't work. I mean, we're not machines, right? I don't know if it's the same for you, but do you have a daily yoga practice yourself, or is music more or less
I also do meditation every day for also since the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
So that, you know, then the music is maybe an extension of that.
Yeah.
But I do have a daily practice, and I'm sure you do too.
I do, and I really think that it's very important to have the inner voice or the silence play a big role in music, and also, you know, that outer extension. And I think you hear that in music. And I wish it was done more in the music universities and the music schools. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you're on the right track there. I mean, they found not only with music, but other things, how beneficial meditation is, centering the mind and all of that is to whatever you're trying to accomplish. But I think, the Indian music has come from such a spiritual source that, from the yogis, and I mean, they were all, that was their whole life, was the meditation and prayer and chant.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to have that feeling in everything that I'm doing.
Yeah. Do you, can you share with our listening audience the difference for you between the Indian classical music and the Western music? Can you share with them? I mean, I know what it is, but can you just share in your own words the main difference so that they can really be attentive and listen to it when they listen to?
When you listen to Indian music, you know that it's all based, the classical music is all based on ragas,
mm-hmm.
which are a musical form that evolved out of the ancient chants and the ancient spiritual practices. But each, to try to make it clear, like each raga has a certain combination of notes or a scale,
mm-hmm.
but it's not only the scale, because there may be many ragas that have the same scale, but it's the way that the notes are presented and the combinations and the kind of journey up and down is different, because the mood, that it's all about mood. Because
mm-hmm.
raga means that which colors the mind. So every raga is based on a certain mood, like devotion, joy, sadness, separation, longing for the divine, tranquility. Each raga focuses on one particular, you could say, sentiment or focus. Whereas in Western music, I think although when you write a song, you obviously have a theme, but, you know, there could be many changing moods and situations from part to part of the song. I don't know if that explains it, you know, that when you're listening to classical. Sorry?
And no, I was going to say, and isn't it more that although we have melodies, we also have a lot of harmonies. So as far as I know from a singer, there are not they're not choirs in India. They're really focused on rhythm and melody and not as much of, I mean, the harmonies are found within the melodies, but, you know, you wouldn't have a jazz situation where you have three different chords within one.
There's no chord in the classical music. There's no harmony. It's melody and rhythm, and then there's always the drone underneath, which is usually like a tambura, you know, the four-string drone, or the harmonium or shruti box, you know, that's just really usually the root and the fifth of the tonic, you know, of what you're playing.
Yes.
So you get harmony in the way that when you hit a certain melodic note, the way it plays against the drone note can give you a feeling of harmony, or like would be, you know, not like it is in the Western where all the notes of a chord are played together to suggest a certain harmonization.
Yeah.
The Indians don't think in terms of harmony in the classical music at all. And it's all come from the voice. You know, that's
it all
the
comes
thing.
From the voice.
Yeah, even all the ancient music was all vocal. You know, the instrumental music came later.
Oh, that's
beautiful. Even now when teachers teach, they'll often teach by singing. You know, a phrase or a part of a raga or something, and then have the instrument play what they're singing. So that's how the instrumental part of Indian music became so complex, and they were trying to emulate the voice, which you can hear, like in especially in the bird instruments like sarangi and all that, and the bansuri, the flute.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much like a voice, you know, and that's what's so beautiful.
That's very beautiful. Let us take a short break here, Stephen. We're going to be back. I love that thought.
Yeah.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. go to www.carajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Cara Johnstad. You're at Voice Rising, and in studio with me today is Stephen McNamara, and he is a guitarist, a composer. He has a new album out there, and we were just talking about the voice and how the voice has inspired also, or you are saying that in India they use the voice actually even not only to teach singing, but also to teach every single instrument. I know that from percussionists that I've worked with, they can actually sing the percussion parts faster than I've seen anybody in the world move their tongue. So it's unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable. Stephen, you had, I hope I'm saying her name right, Mala Ganguly, is that correct?
Yeah,
sing mantras. She an amazing voice, a beautiful voice on latest album, right?
Yes.
Your primary intent while producing Vandana, I guess you would say devotional mantras and sacred healing prayers, was to make positive and uplifting music for difficult and negative times. Little did you know that only a few months after the release, we would be in a global pandemic.
I know.
What are your thoughts of these times that we're in, and what is your experience on using mantra to bring us back and heal us and guide us into a place, back to a place of wholeness?
Well, I think that, you know, through the ages in the Indian tradition, mantras have always been used to create a certain powerful effect on the mind, positive. And so every word, you know, that comes from the Sanskrit has a very deep effect on the consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and even on the heart, you know. So to me, it's one of the most powerful vehicles for, I mean, they use it for worship, but it can also just be on a personal level to connect us to each other and to the universe. You know, you have, say, the Gayatri Mantra is, oh God, the protector of all life, who is self-existent,
mm-hmm.
who is free from all pain, and whose contact frees the soul from all trouble. You know, that's just one part of the mantra, but it's such a, I think, you know, such a powerful thing that can bring positivity even in the most negative times on a personal basis and even on a universal basis. And then that explains your question.
Yeah. So
you carry on. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. This is a live radio show. So, of course, we're just tuning in to our own breath and listening to the words. So sometimes it works. We are miles and miles away from each other. I was going to say I would love our listeners to experience and be able to, you know, listen to a part of your latest album. And you have a track called Sacred Shavada, Prayer of Saraswati. Which is, of course, the goddess of knowledge, music, wisdom, the arts, the mother of the Vedas. Do you want to share with us a few words about this track before we play it today on the show?
Well, Saraswati, as you just explained, is the force, the power that is in charge of all these wonderful things that bring us into our creative world. You know, she's just always depicted in the art as like playing a veena, which is a sacred instrument mm-hmm. of India, and that she is kind of also like a mother figure, you know, I think she, and protector. You know, one of the lines is, please protect me and remove my ignorance. And it's just that purity of Saraswati, you know, she's revered even by all the gods in the Hindu world, you know, so.
Beautiful. Let's listen then, yeah. Right? Listen, this is from your latest release. Let's yeah. listen to this track. listening to the newest album from Stephen McNamara here at Om Times Radio, Voice Rising. Stephen's with us in studio, and that was the track Sacred Shavada Prayer for Saraswati. Stephen, why do mantras matter so much? Why are they so important? Why is there such a movement in the moment that is supporting so many people to learn, study, and have a mantra practice?
Well, I think that people are starting to realize that, you know, these mantras have been around, I don't know how long, but thousands of years, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were devised by the spiritual yogis who, you know, the Sanskrit language is basically from the inner world, I would say. You know, it comes from a higher plane, and they found that by chanting these mantras, they would have such an effect on the mind and the body and the spiritual self that, you know, I think only in the West now people are starting to find out about this and realize how powerful they are, and, you know, that. Of course, but here in this country too, the big explosion of kirtan, you know, which is, mm-hmm. You know, where the audience can actually participate. But, you know, these mantras can be done almost like a meditation by oneself. You know,
right.
It's hard to say. You know, I'm not in a position to say how powerful they are, but I know that they are, and they wouldn't have survived all this time and become a living part of a whole culture if they didn't have some huge effect on their life.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had Do you want to share something more about mantras?
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say, before we forget, you know, just that this whole album, you know, it's something I wanted to do for a while, but only when I found Mala Ganguly, you know, to be the voice of this music, did it already happen, because she, as you can hear, is just so connected to the music. And I mean, she's been a classically trained singer since her childhood, you know. You can't kind of fake that, you know.
you hear she's incredibly connected. Beautiful.
She is. Yeah, she's the real thing, and yet she was also so gracious to, you know, be a part of this album that's not the traditional way of presenting these mantras. With the idea, like we said in the beginning, to make it more accessible to the Western ear, you know.
Well, what I love about it is that I always say global mind, global heart, right? You could say global voice. What is beautiful is that we do come from different traditions. And I actually love to experience music then where it merges, where there's a fusion that happens. And yet it sounds so organic. In the end, it's all music. It doesn't sound like, you know, somebody's adding a blues riff to an Indian raga or something. I mean, it sounds incredibly like when you go to these great restaurants and you get fusion food and you can't identify it, but it's just delicious, right?
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's fantastic, because we are one world, and it's beautiful. Somebody from born in South Africa, living in the States. She's from India. I believe she also lives in, does she live in California?
Yeah, she lives in California now, yeah.
Yeah, and then you also work with a guy called Christo Pelani, who was
give tribute to all these great musicians who became part of this project. Yeah, Christo is not so much Indian. He's studied a lot of African and Brazilian drums, mm-hmm. and he's been in the pop field, but he's got that earth, wonderful, just universal rhythm inbred in him. And it's always like so creative in the way he works on a piece, and you know, just makes it really this amazing drum foundation, you know.
Right, and Steve Gorn, I think he was Bansuri?
Yeah, Steve Gorn is also classically trained in India and has been, you know, he does play clarinet, but he's absolutely locked into the Indian classical music throughout his life. So it's also an honor to have him on the album. We've done a couple of other projects together, but I just love his playing. It is so much like a voice to me, you know. It's just,
he's got
that thing.
And I then also, the other,
I just say the other person is Subir Adhikari, who actually was introduced to me by Mala. He's a very top tabla player in India right now, and they just work together like magic. You know, they don't have to rehearse or anything. We did that Saraswati one in one take. You know, he just it's that kind of caliber of Indian musician too, and a beautiful soul, a beautiful person.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're very fortunate. Are you also the sound engineer on this album? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's been my other profession, you know. It's a long story, but, you know, in the 70s, I was a studio musician playing guitar. But then in the 80s, things started happening where people were using samplers and synthesizers, and the whole thing changed. And I was so used to being in studios, I started getting more and more fascinated with recording and became a recording engineer as my sort of second profession. You know? So, yeah, I'm very lucky because I can compose these albums and I can get the musicians and then I can record them and mix them just the way I hear it, you know.
Beautiful.
And beautiful. That may be good or maybe not good. Maybe it'd be good to get a fresh air on it, but
I think you're doing just well, Steve. I think everything is perfect as it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful album. We're going to take a small break and be back with Stephen McNamara.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live right here on Om Times Radio.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstead, and with me in studio today is Stephen McNamara, and we are talking about his newest album, actually. He's sharing with us his music from the album Vandana Devotional Mantras and Sacred Healing. Stephen, you have a track. You have many tracks on this album, but one of them is called Healing Eyes, Healing Eyes of Shiva, I believe.
Yes.
The Healing Eyes of Shiva. Some people know Shiva has is often pictured with a big eye smack in the middle of his forehead, the third eye. Can you tell us a little bit about why you chose this mantra and this song, and a little bit about the Healing Eyes of Shiva before we play the track for our listening audience?
I chose this one because it's really one of the most it's one of the oldest and most popular mantras that have been around for ages. It's to, really to do with life and death, you know, that we go through these lifetimes, if you believe that, and, that Shiva is the destroyer in the Hindu world, you know, so we are created, and then when we die, you know, our bodies are, we leave that body and then we take a new body. Mm-hmm. But the idea of Shiva is that it says in the mantra, let me see, it's, we worship the three-eyed one who is fragrant and who sustains all living beings. May he liberate us from samsara, death. May he lead us to immortality. And then it's a kind of strange for the Westerner, but it says, just as the cucumber is released from its bondage. That means when the time is right and we're ripe, you know, we fall off the vine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's such a powerful mantra, you know, to that we all face our mortality. And with faith and courage, really. That it's not the end of everything.
Yeah, life continues on. So let's listen to this track and give our listeners another
one
taste.
More
of
this. The three eyes, we forgot about that. Well,
yes.
You know, the third eye, which is depicted having the eye in the middle of the forehead, is actually the spiritual eye. So when we withdraw through meditation, we open that eye as our consciousness rises, and we're able to perceive the higher world. You know, that's, I think, with the three eyes of Shiva. When you have spiritual awakening, that eye is opened. That's the background of that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Stephen. Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
listening to The Healing Eyes of Shiva by Stephen McNamara, and it's off of his newest album, Vandana, Devotional Mantras and Sacred Healing Prayers. And lucky me, I have Stephen with me in studio today at Om Times Radio. It's good to hear it again and again and again, right, Stephen? What's it like for you? You created this album and now it is out there. Gaining traction everywhere. What does it feel like? Are you proud?
It feels great. Yeah, it feels great because it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And as you were saying earlier, it seems just perfect for the times. You know, and it's an album I'll always cherish. I think it'll stand out on its own just because of all the elements, you know, the beautiful musicians who contributed, and that the vision became a reality, and now that it's people really love it, you know, and I'm so happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Stephen, we are in these evolutionary times, right? There's a lot of challenges that we're facing. It's so easy for us to close down and pull back. I mean, we're being asked in these times to, quote, social distance, and yet we know that it's in this time that we are more important than ever to each other. It's so important for us to find ways, and we know as musicians also, you can have a solo practice, you can have your practice with your guitar or your instruments, but there's something magical when we make music together, when we breathe together. Do you have a daily ritual that you do? You were saying that you do meditation, but do you have something that you do that encourages your heart to stay wide open and receptive?
Well, I think just, you know, being with the music, and if I pick up the guitar, you know, it's not a rigid thing, but it's just something that gives me a feeling of connection, because something I'm sure you've experienced this many times in your journey, like something will just come through, which makes you feel closer to the source, or closer to your brothers and sisters, and to be able to communicate that feeling is actually a tremendous gift. So, you know, I like to stay close to the music, really. As something not just for selfish, but, you know, so many people enjoy it, and it seems to bring meaning to people. And as you say, at this time now, it's kind of nice because of the technology, you know, people can connect to music through the internet, even if they're at home. And as I see so many people posting live clips, and I think it's creating this amazing movement right now that I'm happy to be part of.
If somebody is sitting at home and, you know, they've been, let's say they've been working 24/7, they've lost touch with, you know, most of us, many of us have learned music instruments. Not everybody carries that through their whole lives. And so if somebody's sitting at home and let's say they're in quarantine or they can't go out and they're looking for that piece of peace and wellness, is there a simple practice if they're going to grab their guitar from the closet and dust it off, or if they're going to take their voice over to the piano, or maybe even stand in the kitchen and start humming, is there a simple practice that you can recommend that can just help to reconnect us to the musical beings that we are?
Well, as you say, the voice, you know, the voice you can have no matter where you are, even if you don't play an instrument. So I think just even making just the Om sound, you know, and then the breath, you know, the breathing, just stopping everything for a minute. I don't know what you do, but things like that I think would really help, just to make sound, even if you're not a singer. You know, the voice is something that everybody has. So
yeah, I actually, I believe the same thing. I think that we have lost touch with something as simple as whistling and humming. I think that when I grew up as a kid, my mother used to do a lot of whistling in the kitchen, listening to the radio, and she would hang the wash. And similar to what you were saying, that as a child you experienced people doing work. I mean, they were working in the fields, but, you know, we lost touch with that simple idea of a little melody accompanying us through our day-to-day tasks, which are not always fun, you know, taking out the garbage, hanging the wash. I mean, they cooking, and we're instead of that, maybe playing the news. So I actually tell people, you know, come back to your breath, but also just singing simple made-up melodies, or hum them, whistle them.
It can just
walk
be,
in the woods.
I think that's what I was trying to say. You know,
exactly. The voice, I love it. I mean,
we're just back to the beginning. You know, that there you are, and but you have this voice. You have some way of producing sound. The minute you do that, something happens. You know, your body vibrates. Things, you start becoming more centered. The other, you know, all the clutter in your mind stops. You know, just all of that.
Yeah. And Stephen, if people want to get in touch with you, or if they want to see your other albums, or they want to, I don't know if you're doing concerts or workshops, maybe not in the moment, but in the future, where are you located, or what's your homepage address for our listening audience?
Well, Facebook is good, and it's Stephen McNamara. You can find me there. And I have a music page and a personal page. My website is yogitar.com, yogitar. That was a made-up word, which is like combining yogi and the Indian word tar is string, you know. So a string yogi, I call myself.
A string yogi is very good.
Yeah.
And you would be singing the jazz tune, I've got the world on a string, I'm sitting on a rainbow. Beautiful. So you're a yogi of strings, sitar, guitar, and all the magical things that you give this world. I want to thank you so much for joining me here at Om Times Radio, and share with me.
Well, I just think that it's been a great privilege, and I thank you so much for having me. It's really been great. We should listen to your song, Message of Hope. That's just one for the time. Yeah. And
thank you
congratulations
so much
on your new recording, too.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Yeah, my new album will be out soon, and your new album is really it is also a masterpiece. I listened to it the whole day. I thank you so much for being on the show with me, and let's keep in touch. You stay healthy,
so
yeah? All right.
Yeah, you
bye-bye.
Too. Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye.